The Nicene Creed is something that we repeat frequently. In fact, we say it every other Sunday here. And it's such an important thing for us that we've made it a regular part of our worship on Sunday morning. But why? Why do we have creeds at all? And why do we use this creed in particular? And why do we say it so often? Those are all questions that we need to wrestle with and consider this morning. And the reason why it's so fitting for us to do that, Christians, is because this morning we are commemorating the anniversary of the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed is 1,700 years old this year. It's something that the church has had for 17 centuries. And so to answer the first question that we want to consider this morning, why do we have creeds at all, we can look back to the very beginning and consider what was happening 1,700 years ago that led to the creation of this creed. So in the year 325, the year that the Nicene Creed was written, the church was struggling with a major controversy. This was not church politics, but rather a serious debate about what we as Christians actually believe. They were having a debate about who God is. Because there was a man by the name of Arius who made a very bold claim. Arius said that Jesus was not God in the same way that the Father is God. That Jesus was the first and the greatest of all of the Father's creations, and so in that sense, Arius could say that Jesus was God's Son. But for Arius, Jesus is not God in the same way that the Father is God. The Father is greater than he. And unfortunately, there were a lot of people in that time who went along with Arius. They thought that what he was saying made a lot of sense. But the trouble with what Arius claimed is how it actually affects our salvation. Because if Jesus is not God in the same way that the Father is God, then how can he actually be our Savior? Because only God can deal with the problem of sins. No creature, no matter how great that creature may be, could actually do that. An angel could not take care of your sins, and someone who is just a man could not do it either. Only because Jesus is God could he actually pay the penalty of our sins. Only because Jesus is God could he do what we could not. Only because Jesus is God can we be sure that we have actually been forgiven. Anything less than that, anything else, and it all goes out the window. If Jesus is not fully God, then we have not been saved. And so the 318 bishops who gathered at Nicaea, a little town on the eastern coast of what is now Turkey, together with Constantine the Great, the Roman emperor at that time, who had called them together, these 318 bishops came together to settle the question. And for 2 months, they debated and searched the scriptures, until they finally produced the first version of what we now call the Nicene Creed. Now, of course, it's true that a later council would add a few things to the creed that would give it the form that we now have it today. But for the most part, the bulk of it is already there. And notice how much the creed talks about who Jesus is, especially in relationship to the Father. It says that Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. The creed clearly confesses the truth. Jesus is truly God, who became truly man in order to take away our sins. And it's important to know that, because our salvation depends on rightly knowing the truth. Because notice what Paul says in our epistle reading for today. He says in verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." Notice how Paul uses the words delivered and received. The gospel is something that is handed down. It's almost like a package that someone sends and someone else receives. So what makes us Christians then is not how we feel, although that may be important. And what makes us Christians is not how we act, although that is important too. But what makes us Christians are the truths that we have received, these things which have been handed down to us and which we also pass on. These things we believe. I can say, I believe this, and I don't believe that. I hold on to this as the truth, and I reject anything that goes against it. In that sense, Christians, the gospel is like a set of truths that we believe and reject anything that goes against them. I mean, take Paul again as an example of this. In our reading, he goes on to give us some of those very truths that we believe, some of which we confess in the creed. That Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to many. These are real facts from real history, and we as Christians hold on to them as the truth. You can't reject them and still be a Christian. But when you do believe them, when you hold on to them, then you will find salvation. So our creeds then, like the Nicene Creed, are kind of like a list of these facts, the very basics of what it means to be a Christian. The creed is like a package that has been given to us by our fathers so that we may believe it too, before we hand it on to those who come after. This is what Christians believe. Believe it too, and you will be saved. But of course, that brings us then to the second question. Well, why this creed in particular? Because 1,700 years is a long time. And the debate that this creed once settled has long been over. I would even wager to say that before today, most of you probably hadn't even heard the name of Arius. So why should we hold on to something that is so old? Why not make something new? Why not make something more relevant, something that speaks to our own times? Well, because, Christians, the truth does not change. Whatever was true in 325 is still true today. The gospel does not change. The faith of our fathers is also our faith. Their beliefs are our beliefs. Their Christ is also our Christ. And by holding on to this creed which they have given to us, we hold on to the very same things that they believe, because we are one in faith. As Paul says again in our reading, starting in verse 1, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." We are called to hold fast to what we have received. And how can you hold fast to something if it's always changing? How can you know what is the truth and what is not if it's always different? No, the gospel that Paul proclaimed all those centuries ago, that was handed down to our fathers and then also to us, is still the same. Change the creed, you change the truth. Change the truth, you have a different God. And if you have a different God, then all hope of salvation is gone. This is why we have to reject and avoid everything which tries to change the wording of the creed. Like those, for example, who avoid saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because they say it's sexist or patriarchal. But rather, if God is not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then he is a different God. And if he is a different God, then there is no salvation. It's why we also have to be leery of those who want to just make up creeds. I mean, I get the impulse. I get wanting to put things into your own words. It can be a good way to show that you actually understand what's being said. But it's kind of like I tell the confirmation kids. There's some things that you just have to learn the answer to, because anything else will lead us away from God. There is only one Lord. There is only one faith, there is only one baptism, which has been handed down from age to age. But of course, that brings us then finally to the last question. Well, why do we repeat it so often? Repeating it that often seems boring. It almost seems pointless. In fact, if we repeat it so often, maybe we'll stop thinking about what we're actually saying, and that seems to kind of defeat the purpose. It's why some say we shouldn't even have creeds at all, that creeds just become rote, they become routine, they become meaningless. And yes, I get where they're coming from. Anything that we do often has a danger of becoming just routine. I mean, sin has a way of ruining everything that we do, including the things that we do a lot. But just because there's a danger, Christians, doesn't mean that repetition is bad. In fact, it's a very good thing. Because take our Old Testament reading. Israel there is commanded to confess a kind of creed. A wandering Aramean was my father, and so forth. They were commanded to repeat everything that God had done for Israel, from calling Abraham out of the Chaldeans, to bringing Jacob down into Egypt, to calling Israel out again and up to the promised land. These were facts that they had heard hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands of times. Things they repeated over and over and over again. But every time they brought in a harvest, they were commanded to repeat them again. Well, why? Because then they would see that this harvest was just one more example of the goodness of God. Repeating these things would enable them to see that everything that they had, even something as simple as food for this year, came from the Lord. And confessing these truths again and again would drive them to that truth even more, and ultimately to the Lord. So that's why we do the same with the Nicene Creed. We're not repeating it because we're bored and have nothing better to do. We repeat it because it points to the truth that was first given to our fathers, a truth that has been given to us, and a truth that we will pass on. We repeat it because it enables us to see all things rightly and to live each day in the light of God's truth. But above all, Christians, we repeat it because it reminds us of who God is and what he has done for us in his Son. Because to know him the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let us pray. O God of our fathers, sanctify us in the truth, because your word is truth, and lead us to confess that truth given to us through our fathers to the glory of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.